The book of Acts, chapter 11. Amen. Acts chapter 11 this morning. Acts chapter 11. Now, kids, everybody, give me respect to the Lord. That's good. Stay just like that. Listen to what's being said here this morning. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26. Acts chapter 11, verse number 26. All right, wait on you girls. We're waiting on y'all. Everybody be real quiet. All right. Acts chapter 11, verse number 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Remember that name there. That's a place, a city. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now I want to mark that verse in your Bible because that's the first time the word Christian appears. Nobody is called a Christian in the whole Bible till Acts chapter 11. Nobody through the whole Old Testament. Nobody through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Here in Acts chapter 11, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, that word Christian is a word they tacked on them. That would mean like Christy, a little Christ. And you know what they said? They said these people act so much like Jesus. They talk so much like Jesus. They live so much like Jesus. We're going to call them little Christ Christians. That's what the word Christian means. We've come a long way from that definition of a Christian. Lord have mercy, a Christian nowadays, it has a broader interpretation than the Bible is. The first time that word is used in that sense. Nowadays, we're in a mess now. And so this morning, I want to preach on what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? I would ask everybody in here this morning, anybody ever here who's a Christian, raise your hand. Probably 99% of the people in this room would say, yes, sir, I am one preacher. Count me in. I'm a Christian. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about what kind of Christian are you? You might see yourself in one of these categories that I'll mention. And I'm going to name them off and go real quick, so you got to listen fast, okay? And then come back tonight, you'll hear the most unusual message you've heard in a while. What kind of Christian are you? Number one, there's what we call the unfed Christian. The unfed Christian. He won't eat. There's something wrong with a Christian that won't eat. Now the Bible talks about the Word of God being our spiritual food. Just like you have to eat bread, meat, potatoes, vegetables, whatever, to feed this physical body, your soul must eat a diet from the Bible for your soul to be healthy. If your soul don't eat the Bible, it'll do just like your body don't do if it don't eat, or does if it don't eat food. It'll just wither up and become anemic, sick, and puny. So the unfed Christian. We got some Christians in here this morning that are unfed. Yeah. I'm not talking about physically. I don't see nobody in here that looks like you're starving to death physically. Matter of fact, many of you get you a Richard Simmons video for Christmas. I don't know if he's still out or not, but you know, get him waller around in the floor and touch your toes. Wouldn't hurt you a bit. I think that's good. But listen, brother, I'm talking about eating spiritually. The Bible said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jeremiah said, back in the Old Testament, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." You've got to learn to eat spiritually this book right here. You must learn how to do that. It's ridiculous. I mean, I know why people don't eat the Bible. Because the devil has us full on junk food. Have you ever tried to feed one of your kids? And if a kid's been in the kitchen and it's been in there eating candy bars and drinking Pepsis and all that, and then you sit up there and, you know, to us this sounds better, but to a little kid, you sit down there and you've got, maybe you've got roast beef and maybe you've got all the delicacies of life. Big slice of liver mush, just cream corn, green beans, and you know, you've got everything on there that a person would want, and the kid will just pick around on it. Eat your food, honey. I'm not hungry. Eat your food, honey. I'm not hungry. And then soon as supper is over, they're wanting some ice cream, or they're wanting a candy. I mean, you know, all kids are like that. All kids are like that. You know why they don't want that real food? Because that junk food kills your appetite for the real food. Amen. Amen? Them dogs we got at the house, them bulldogs, you know what? If you give it table food, they say you're not supposed to, but I feel sorry for them. You have a bunch of food left over, and you got, you might have chicken, you might have meatloaf, you might have stuff like that. Sometimes we'll go out to eat, we'll get a to-go box, and I think, boy, I'm going to take that to the dogs. They'll love that. And if you give that dog meatloaf and yeast rolls and gravy and country-style steak, then the next day you put its regular dog food out there, it'll just turn its nose like that. And it'll say, eat your food, man. I don't want that. You know what he's wanting? He's wanting some of that stuff you gave him yesterday. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Are you listening to me, people? This right here, and the words in this book, are a steady diet for your soul. Now, the world has all this other stuff. The world has sports and music and ball games and entertainment and video games and all. And we're feeding off of all this junk and we have no desire. You know, years ago, 100 years ago, there wasn't but one book in people's house. Most of them, that was the Bible, unless they had a big thick Sears catalog. And they didn't have a TV, and they didn't have an internet, and they didn't have a computer, and they didn't have, all they had was the Bible, and people read the Bible. But this generation, we have so much stuff to keep our attention, and all of it ain't even sinful, really, but it just, your attention is away. I mean, when you can sit in front of a box, and some of them big as that screen, that sign right there, 180-inch screen, and you can sit right there and colors and lights flashing at you, and all that, it's hard to pick up a book that's just got black writing on white pages and make yourself read it when you got all that stuff. Like, here's football, you know, and you know they show the same play 85 times. You see him fall down over and over and over, and you love to watch him fall down again. Oh, I saw it from this angle. I saw it from this angle. I saw it from this angle. Now all that stuff may taste good, but it will not feed your soul. I'm telling to you, ladies and gentlemen, we better learn how to stick our nose back in this book and get a hold of God. You need to read your Bible every day of your life. Hey, I mean, you need to make yourself eat something that's good for you. Eat something that's good for you. There's the unfed Christian. He will not eat. Let me tell you kids something. You kids read your Bible every day? Have you been reading it? Every day. Every day. You say, I can't understand it. I ain't fussing at you for not understanding it. I'm fussing at you for not reading it. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Every day. Adults, have you read your Bible every day this week? Every single day? I have. I don't know if there's been a day in 30 years I ain't read the Bible. You say, I ain't bragging. I'm the sorriest Christian they are. But I know I've got to have it. My soul's got to have the Bible. You can't live right not reading the Bible. You can't stay straight not reading the Bible. There's got to be a diet. You're unfed if you will not read the Bible. Amen? Listen, 85% of the people in America claim to believe the Bible. 85%. Atheists, although they make a big noise, make up only about 6% of our population. And 85% claim to believe the Bible, but the average American cannot quote two verses of Scripture from memory. Not two. Average American. They don't know the Bible. So yes, this little girl one time, they said, what's in the Bible, honey? Do you know anything in the Bible? She said, oh yeah, I know the Bible. What's in the Bible? They said, what? She said, a pressed squirrel tail, a lock of hair from Grandma, an insurance receipt, and Pa's Masonic Lodge emblem. That's all that love. You know what that little girl thought? She thought the Bible was like a chest where you keep old things. And well, it's the old. I had one preacher come to the house one night. He said, "Ma'am, you got a Bible in here?" And she said, "Oh yes, we do." She said, "Honey, run in there and get that big book that we all know and love." And the kid come back in there with the Sears catalog and laid it down. That's the big book they all know and love. I'm going to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. We better get back to this book. You better read it to your kids. You better let your kids see you reading the Bible. You better let them. I'm telling you, some of y'all think you're cool. You think you're smart. You think you're too good. You think you're too big. You think you're too spiritual. But I'm telling you this morning, you better get back in that book. Sit down, boy. And I'm telling you this morning, you better stay there and you better stick your nose in that book until God does something in you. Are you unfed? Are you unfed? You say, "Well, I ain't read my Bible all week." Well, let's get down here this morning and do something about it and get back in the book. How many of you are going to finish the Bible at least once this year by the end of the year? I am. Raise your hand. That's a good crowd. That's a good crowd. We got somebody in here that's read it 3 times. We got somebody in here that's read it 2 times. We got some of you in here, you didn't make it to Genesis 10 before you quit on January the 3rd. I'm telling you this morning, brother, you don't want to be an unfed Christian. Amen. But I want to say secondly, Lord, I got a bunch of these to mention. I didn't mean to get on that so long. I got a bunch of these to mention. Number two is a lazy Christian. Is a lazy Christian. He won't work. I said first, there's an unfed Christian. He won't eat. Second, there's lazy Christians. He won't work. Now, the Bible tells us that we ought to work. We ought to work for God. We ought to work in the work of God. We all ought to be involved in the work of God. And, of course, that just means regular work, too. The Bible told that Jesus told those men, "Go work today in my vineyard." You know, work is a four-letter word nowadays. A lot of people, that's a cuss word, buddy, the word work. We think the world owes us something. We think you can just go out here and sit down and they owe it to us, stick food in your mouth. And the bad thing about it is, the government will do it. But the Bible still says if a man won't work, the man shouldn't eat. You let them do without food for a while, they'll say they'll feel led to work. But I'm telling you what that book said, a man that won't work shouldn't eat. Every one of you healthy men in here and women and young people ought to have some kind of work that you got to do. Working's good for you. Working will not hurt you. Work is, well, you say, "Well, you're a preacher, you don't work." Well, if it's so easy, why don't you start a church and let's see you handle one for a while? I'm just because I run around the town, brother. Follow me around 1 week. Follow me around 1 week. I ain't got time. Every time you meet some smart ass out there, and they'll shake your hand on Monday morning and say, "You got it made. Don't work but 1 day a week." I'm going to slap somebody like that every time they say it. Amen. You try handling a crowd like this and chasing people down all over creation and all the other stuff that we won't talk about. But I'm telling you, every man's got to work. Every man ought 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 to work. You say, "I can't find a job." Listen, if I couldn't find a job here in Morganton, you know what I'd do? And I ain't just saying this. Here's what I'd do. I'd get out in the morning, walk down the road down here, and come to the first car lot that I found, and I'd go up there and I'd say to that man, "I'll wash every car in your lot for $5 a piece." And if he said no, I'd go down to the next one. And if they all said no, I'd come back and say, "I'll wash them for $4 a piece." He said, "I ain't washing no car, brought up." Listen, brother, $4 a car is better than nothing. $4 is better than nothing. $7 an hour. I know people say, "I ain't going down there and working. They won't pay me $7 an hour." Listen, brother, $7 an hour is better than no dollars an hour. Did you know the more time you lay around doing nothing, the more time you got to sin? And the more work you do, the less time you got to sin. Do you know idle minds the devil's workshop? Did you know if you stay busy, the devil can't get in your life as easy as he can if you stay busy? Say amen right there. You know why most churches have a big offering the first Sunday in the month, like ours was last week? Well, think about it. Listen, I'm telling you something this morning. A man ought to work. Are you a lazy Christian? Are you a lazy Christian? Somebody told me, they said, "Well, Brother Danny, I'm just burnt out." Now, burnout is another word of saying I'm backslid. Christians don't get burnout. Christians don't, when somebody says, well, I'm burnt out on the bus ministry, I'm quit. No, you ain't. You're getting backslid. I've been doing this since I was 18 years old. I'm not burnt out. When I start getting discouraged and want to quit, it ain't because I'm burnt out, it's because I'm backslid. When I get my heart right, I'm not burnt out at all. I got a long wick. And brother, I tell you something, we need to all make up our mind that we're going to say, if God give you a bus route, get fired up and get on that thing, get them kids in here. If God give you a Sunday school, you say, well, I've taught long enough, I'm going to get out of the way and let some of the... No. We don't want to be lazy Christians. Lazy Christians are complainers. Lazy Christians are the ones that gripe about stuff not going like they want. Anybody who's working in the church is your people you don't have problems with. The people you have problems with is people that ain't doing nothing. That's the way society is. You know who's giving the government problems? People that ain't doing nothing. People that won't do nothing. Say amen right there. That's right. You're the lazy Christian. There's one guy went to the doctor. He wasn't working a pie factory tasting pie if it changed flavors three times a day. And he went in and sat down at the doctor's office, and the doctor looked at him and said, He said, give it to me straight, Doc. I can take it. The doctor said, you're lazy. He said, can you give me a little fancier word I can tell my wife? You know, it's a shame. It's a shame some women have to go out and work all day long and her husband laying at home playing video games or watching TV or something like that. I ain't got nobody in mind. If the shoe fits, wear it. But I'm telling you, it's a shame that some men work from daylight to dark and work herself to death and their wife wouldn't hit a lick of a snake. Brother, it's a shame. Everybody ought to work. Say amen right there. That's right. That's right. You say, I can't find a job. We'll find you one. Come down here and clean the church. You don't get paid and you get to heaven. But listen, you can do something. You can do something. If people see you busy, somebody will hire you. Number three. I said, number one, are you an unfed Christian? They won't eat. I said, number two, are you a lazy Christian? They won't work. I'm saying, number three, are you a worldly Christian? They won't separate. Are you a worldly Christian? They won't separate. Now the Bible said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. The Bible said, if you're the friend of this world, you're the enemy of God. Listen to me, girls. You listen to me, young people. If you're a friend of this world, you're the enemy of God. You say, I just love to watch MTV Cribs, and I just think so-and-so's the coolest thing, and these rappers are so cool. That Bible said, if you're the friend of the world, that you're God's enemy. You know why this world hates God? This world has no use for God. And if we're the friend of the world, we're the enemy of God. Because the world goes one way, and God's going the other way. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't stop. 2 feet can't stand on two different boats. It'll split you. You can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the church. You've got to make up your mind. Are you a worldly Christian? They will not separate. Now I'm telling you, some trying to, but it just don't work. Now the Bible said we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Some people say, well, you can't expect us just to get away from all the sin. No, that ain't what he said. You can't help but be in it. You can help being of it. You say, well, Brother Danny, where I work, everybody cusses and everybody gets drunk and everybody all that. I can't get away from it. I didn't say get away from it. I said don't be a part of it. There's a difference. There's a difference. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You know us here at this church. You ain't going to find a church in this town any more gracious than we are. You might find one prettier. You might find one with a better preacher. But you ain't going to find a church in this city or any other city that's more compassionate or forgiving than we are right here at this church. You mark it down. You won't find one anywhere where I don't care what you've done. You repent. We'll forget it. Wipe it away. Put it under the blood and it's gone. But there is still ought to be a difference in the way Christians live than the way this world. The Bible says come out. You listen, there's supposed to be a difference in us, people. There's supposed to be a difference in us. I mean, you have kids come in now that look like they fell first face in a tackle box.
and stuffed up to their lips and nose and purple hair and looked like a rat running down there. Weed eater got a hold of them and everything and looked like a demon and say, yeah, I'm saved, man. Cool. Love the Lord. Now, if you just got saved, that's one thing, but you're supposed to come out. You are not supposed to want to look like Marilyn Manson. You are not supposed to want to be Paris Hilton, for heaven's sake. You're supposed to want a good Christian example. Say amen. You say, well, I'll get mad and not come back. I know I'm going to get you while you're here. I'm going to get you while you're here. That one little boy said, he's trying to get come to his church. He said, won't you go to my church? He said, I can't. I belong to another abomination. Amen. Lord have mercy, I say. You say, well, these are the best clothes I've got. We ain't fussing about your clothes. But I think it's wrong for Christian girls to come to church, dress inappropriately, and then blame it on the bus kids. I don't think you say, well, the bus kids get to dress like this, so I can wear that. No, sir. You know better. You have better. You know better. You have better. You ought to do better. You ought to dress like a Christian and look like a Christian, especially when you come to the house of God. I mean, we're gracious. I ain't one of these hard-nosed, beat you over the head preachers. But great day in the morning. Now, a Christian girl ought not to get up and sing with a mini skirt on. Lord, they have them pants. They look. I don't know how they get them on. I think they have two people to hold them and run, jump off a house and land. And that's the only way they could get them britches on. If they had a nickel in their back pocket, you'd tell if it was on heads or tails. You're not supposed to show your body off to this world and say, I'm a Christian. You're not supposed to show this much of your belly out in public. Brother, you're not supposed to do it. We're supposed to be different from this world. Amen. You say, Brother Danny. You say, Brother Danny, you're supposed to not be a worldly Christian. Lord have mercy, I mean. You're going to bust them things if you don't get some clothes that's going to fit you.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to pop out one of these days.
Amen.
I mean, Eminem ain't supposed to be a Christian's role model. Or you won't separate. All right, number four. There's tied up Christians. They can't get loose. There's tied up Christians. The perfect example of this is Lazarus. Bible said Jesus come one time and he come to the grave where Lazarus was laying in the grave, and the Bible said the Lord said, come forth, and the Bible said that Lazarus come forth, but he was still bound in grave clothes. He's like this. Yeah, that's a picture of a Christian who's bound up. That's a picture of a Christian who's bound. And then the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, there's a lot of God's people. They're alive, but they're like this. There's some of you sitting right here this morning. You're as saved as Billy Graham. You're as saved as anybody else, but you're like this. The devil's got you just tangled up. We just had this little dog. Daddy had this dog before he died and stayed around the house there for years after my dad passed away. And his name was Tiny. And y'all remember Tiny, don't you, girls? Tiny was a miniature collie. You ever seen a miniature collie? I mean, it looked just like Lassie. So it was about that tall and about that long. And her hair, drugged the ground. Bushy little old dog. That little old dog, if you'd have shaved it, it looked like a big rat. But it had all this hair, made about that high and about that long. And I felt so sorry for that little old dog. Would you look? Except it was just a little bitty thing. And that poor little old dog, I had hair bushy down here on her legs and all long hair. I felt sorry for her. She'd come in and she'd have briars and stuff. You ever seen that? And have a briar hung to them right here and it'd be that long, dragging it across the yard. And she couldn't get it off. And you'd have, and I remember seeing cuckoo burrs and it looked like, look, they call them little porcupine eggs, you know. And it stuck all over her hair. And she couldn't hardly walk. She'd get worse. She couldn't hardly walk with that stuff. And one time, sometimes you'd get it, you couldn't pull it out. You'd have to cut the hair and throw the briar out. You ever seen a little dog get that? And I thought about that thing, couldn't hardly walk. And every time she'd try to go, she was dragging sticks and briars and just couldn't hardly move. That reminds me of a lot of Christians I know. I mean, they're like this, they got something over here. I know Christians that have problems with stuff. I'm not fussing at you. We all got our weaknesses. We all got our problems. But I know Christians
Christians, they got a problem with something. I know Christians that have problems with alcohol. And you say, Brother Danny, a Christian, I know some, brother. And they'll slip back, and they'll drink, and then they'll get right with God and say, I'm never going to do it again. And then a few months later, they'll go back and they'll drink again. And it's just like little Tiny. Got them old briars, stuff. They can't walk. They can't enjoy life because of that. They're bound up. They're bound up. And then some of them have problem with drugs, and some of them have problem with lust or money or whatever, and they do real good for a while and get tangled up. Do real good for a while and get tangled up. I've seen them come to the altar and bawl and beg God, forgive me. Do real good for 3 or 4 months. Bam! And something happened. The devil hit them. Go right back down again. Come to the altar. Ask God to forgive them. Go right back down again. And remind me of little old Tiny. Oh, she's bound. She's bound. Are you bound this morning? Are you bound? You know what the Lord can do this morning? The Lord's saying, loose him and let him go. The Lord will help you with that this morning. I'm not saying you'll always be perfect or you'll never sin again, but the Lord will let you go free this morning. If you want to be loosed. You see, drugs get a hold on you.
That's right, preacher.
Alcohol get a hold on you. You can't fool with alcohol and it not get a hold on you. You can't fool with any sin like it. I just said alcohol. Any sin like it, it'll get a hold of you. And it's just like briars. You say, well, I can do it a little bit and it don't bother me. It will get a hold of you. Are you a tied up Christian? You can't get loose. Number five. Are you a scared Christian? You won't take a stand. Bible said be strong and of a good courage. Somebody said people that stand for nothing will fall for anything. People that stand for nothing will fall for anything. And that's true. Amen? I believe that. That's true. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, Christians, some Christians are like wheelbarrows. Amen? Yeah, they won't do nothing unless somebody pushes them. Some are like canoes. They have to be paddled. Some are like a kite. You got to keep a string on them or they'll fly away. Some are like footballs. You can't tell which way they'll bounce next. Some are like balloons full of hot air and ready to blow up at any minute. That's right, brother. Are you one of those Christians that won't take a stand? Do they know you're a Christian at work? Do they know you're a Christian at school? Do they know you go to church? Do they know that you love Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian that's scared and won't take a stand? Now, the hardest people in the world to take a stand in front of is your immediate family. And the kids you go to school with, and the people you go to work with, what we call your peers, people that are on your level and everything. I recommend this. The first day of school, everybody ought to know as soon as you can that you go to church and you're a Christian. First day you start a new job, they ought to all know you go to, because if you don't, they're going to start saying little things and tell jokes and stuff like that. And then they find out later you went to church. They say, oh, you mean all this time? I didn't even know him. Blah, blah, blah. They need to know it right off the bat. I always tell people, I'm a preacher. So I beat them to the draw that way. And they, you know, that way, if they cuss, you know, I'd cut them off before they get to it. And so, brother, we are supposed to be not scared Christian. We're to take a stand. Many of you have heard my testimony of how that God put me in a position where I had to take a stand. I was scared. When I first got saved, I was scared to stand up in front of my friends. And I was scared what they'd say about me. I was afraid that they'd laugh at me. And when I got saved, I'd done heard some of my buddies said, I heard Danny got religion. And one of them said, he'll last about 2 weeks. And I hurt my feelings. And I remember these boys, these friends of mine, I'd been saved about 3 months. And these friends of mine started going out giving out tracts. And when they'd go give out tracts, they'd want me to go with them. Whoa, 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 whoa. All sit down. Let's all sit down, okay? I'm not being mean, you are. Okay? We're going to sit down now the rest of the service. Nobody else come in or out. Hold on. And they'd all go give out tracts. And when they did, they wanted me to go with them, and I wouldn't go. And you know why I wouldn't go? Because I was scared that somebody was going to see me and they'd make fun of me and they'd laugh at me. Well, I remember one time these boys were preaching right up there on Courthouse Lawn,
And I went out there, Marion, and we went out there and ate a hot dog with the little buck. Y'all remember, some of y'all old people remember the little buck? They had foot-long hot dogs. We all went out there and ate a hot dog. And I sat down there and ate that hot dog, and I said, all right, Lord. No, wait just a second. Wait just a second. I'll be through in just a second. They keep him quiet, and these right here. I've got to have y'all help me, bus workers. They're okay right now, but we've got to keep them quiet. My throat's hurting too. And we're sitting there eating that hot dog. And I told God, I said, Lord, if you'll give me grace now, next Saturday I'll do it. You say, you mean to tell me you were scared to go out there in the courthouse lawn and you... Yeah, I was. Some of y'all been saying 20 years and you still ain't never done it. You still ain't never went out in public and give out tracts. Don't fuss at me. I was chicken. What's your excuse? I ain't chicken now. And so I finally told the Lord I'd do it. And the first time I did it, I felt like $1 million. You know what I was? I was scared. There's some of you afraid that if you take a stand at work, that you'll lose a raise, or you might not get a promotion, or something like that. I'm telling you, if you'll stand for God and do right, you'll wind up in better off shape. Are you scared? Are you scared? He's the scared Christian. They won't take a stand. Make up your mind right now. Now, I'm not talking about going there being a smart aleck, looking down on people. I'm just talking about standing for Jesus Christ. I heard somebody say it the other day. They're talking about, you can't even say Merry Christmas at Walmart. I'm telling you something, people. I believe in being a good citizen. I believe in respecting the government and all of that. But there ain't nowhere in that Bible, there's nowhere in our Constitution that we can't say Merry Christmas. I don't care where you work, you say Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Walmart. Merry Christmas, Sears. Merry Christmas, Hillary. Merry Christmas, Al Gore. Merry Christmas, devil. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Don't be afraid. You say, well, it might offend somebody. Well, it offends us if we can't say it. That's why there ain't nothing wrong with saying Merry Christmas. I've heard people say, well, we should cross out of it, cross out of it. Well, if you practice what you preach, don't take off work during that day. If there ain't no such thing as Jesus, that's why we have a holiday. Work throughout the Christmas holidays and don't take a Christmas bonus or you're a hypocrite. Amen. They'll take them Christmas bonuses, but no, we don't want no Christmas. They'll take that extra money. They'll take them days off. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I ain't going to take my eye off you, boy. How's that? That's my water. And I ain't going to drink it now. Now, that feel better? I got a goodie pad if you want it. But listen. I'm going to tell you something, you bunch of chicken Christians. All you people think preacher don't work? Try it one Sunday. Mr. Genius. All right. Not only that. He's a defeated Christian. He won't trust the Lord. You ever met these defeated Christians? Always negative. We can't do this. Can't do that. I can't. I can't. I get sick and tired hearing people, I can't. I can't. I can't. We can't. We can't afford it. We can't build it. Listen, listen, brother. Hey, don't say that. Somebody said, we can't afford that place over yonder. Well, yeah, we can too. By the grace of God. We need some help, folks. Some of you lazy guys get over there. And so, amen. That's when, brother, you don't want to be a defeated Christian. Amen. I heard about one guy so sorry and wouldn't trust the Lord. He put a rear view mirror on his exercise bike. You know, one of them stationary that don't go nowhere. He put him a mirror on it. He's so paranoid. Everybody's always worried about stuff that ain't even going to happen. Amen. Can't do it. Y'all are really, really slow, and I ain't got time to wait on you. Let me say, lastly, this morning, there's the victorious Christian. He will succeed. Lastly, there's the victorious Christian. He will succeed. It sure is nice to meet somebody with a victory for a change. It sure is nice to meet somebody that's got the Lord and happy and on top of that. It sure is a blessing to meet somebody that said, I'm right with God, I'm saved, I'm happy in the Lord, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I know where I'm going. We don't meet. Everybody says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I've done that myself, but it don't do no good. We might as well just claim the victory and say, thank God Jesus is still on the throne. God's still my Father. Jesus is still my Savior. The Holy Ghost is still my Comforter. The Spirit's still my guide. And heaven's still my home. And get the victory. You know, nobody likes to be around people that's defeated all the time. We all like to be around people that's got the victory. Lord, I dread to see some coming. I used to have some up in Marion when I passed out there, and I would pull in my parking place, and they'd be standing in my parking place. I said, Lord, please, not today. I had a rough night and all them, and I'd try to act like I didn't see them. They'd say, Brother Danny, Brother Danny, Brother Danny. And I'd say, yeah. And they say, this happened this week, this happened this week. You just don't know what a hard time I've had. And all that. And I said, oh, Lord, please, please, Lord, please. I got to go in here and have the victory. Now, Lord, they had me and them, her both won't commit suicide the time we got in the church. So I got fellas standing out there on the bridge. Like this, you know, and he's going to commit suicide. And the cops, everybody sitting here, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And the guy eased out there and he said, just let me talk to you. I'm going to jump. Just let me talk to you for 1 minute. I'm going to jump. He eased out there, grabbed him like this, and they talked for 1 minute, and they both jumped. That's the way people get you, you know? You start hanging around people like that, Lord, first thing you know, you'll be ready to take an overdose of pills. I'm telling you something this morning, we ought to have the victory. We ought to have the victory. We ought to have the victory. We ought not to walk around with our lip hanging down here. I know times are rough. I know times are bad. But thank God we still belong to Him. The Bible's still true. Heaven's still beautiful. Jesus still loves us. We still ain't going to hell. We ought to have the victory once in a while. Amen. That's right. That's right. David had the victory. He came up there and brought that giant. They said, you can't do it. And he said, you give me some rocks and I'll show you what I can do. You can't do it. He popped that guy in between the eyeballs, cut his head off. And all that. What if David had said, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. There's the defeated Christian. Then there's the victorious Christian. Which are you this morning? The unfed Christian won't eat. The lazy Christian won't work. The worldly Christian won't separate. Tied up Christian won't get loose. Scared Christian won't take a stand. Defeated Christian won't trust the Lord. Or are you a victorious Christian? Let's stand by our heads for prayer. What kind of Christian are you this morning? Nobody's moving. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now we're standing. Bow your head.